Why don't we just stand to our feet for a moment? If you have your Bible, open your Bible. Yep, let's stand to our feet. We're going to read the Bible together. It's a good thing to read the Bible. It'll help you. And I just want to read the first three verses of Revelation, which I just for recap's sake, and then I'm going to go into the churches this morning. But let's read it together from the New King James Version. Revelation chapter 1, verse 1 to 3, Dave. All right. So if you've got your Bible, you know, it's a good idea to bring your Bible to church. It's a good idea to actually read your Bible rather than expect it to go up on the screen. So I would encourage you to bring your Bible. And if you've got an electronic one, you prefer it, that's fine. But let's read the Bible together. It says, let's read together. Here we go. The revelation of Jesus Christ, I can't hear you, which God gave him to show his servants things which must shortly take place. And he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ to all things that he saw. Blessed. Come on, let's say it out loud. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. Thanks, guys. You can be seated. I want to talk this morning about the hope of a victorious church. Who'd like to be a part of that? Hope of a victorious church. Revelation is not all doom and gloom. It shouldn't be looked at that way. It's about those people who love the Lord their God and are doing their best. And it doesn't mean you have to have your life totally sorted. It just means, as we're going to learn today, that you will overcome in situations. And so this morning, the blessing is Jesus, as we've just read. The blessing is his word. John in Patmos was squashed, but he was not dead. He was like, that's what Patmos means. If you weren't here a couple of weeks ago, it's like squashed with a grape. You feel like you've got no life left in you. We all have situations like that in our life, but we can recover through the strength that we have, through the power of the Holy Spirit and hearing his voice. We can know that the future still has purpose and hope for us. And so also the last thing, the blessing is in the keeping. The Bible says, and Revelation says it a lot, keep those things which are written. Keep those things which are written. And so we are to listen and obey the word of God. And so vast hope and blessing comes into our life. Who reckons Jesus loves his church? Think that's Bible? Jesus loves his church. He's coming back for what? What's he coming back for? He's coming back for his church. So he loves you. How cool is that? Whoever you are, whether you're Shine or Caroline or Susan or James, whoever we are, God loves us. How cool is that? He's coming back for his church. It's all different shapes and sizes and types, but he loves his church. Now, does that mean that we have to have everything sorted? Hello. You're trying to sit next to your husband? And, you know, I'm just amazed at how often we feel condemned when God actually is grateful that we're part of his church. My father had this kind of thing that he could never be worthy enough. God loves you. You're accepted. He loves who you are. Yes, you might make a mistake. You might do some things wrong. But I tell you what, there's freedom in just loving Jesus. And so this morning, let's have a look at some of the key players in Revelation. Jesus is the head of the church. He's the one who sustains. Now, if Jesus is the head of the church, who's the one that's going to sustain you? Jesus. Jesus inherits the kingdom. He overcomes tribulation. Now, the world, as in this earth that we live in right now. Have you ever noticed that it doesn't take long for things to get rusty, or, as the Bible says, I guess, moth-eaten, it's not lasting. And so we know that the world is its decaying environment. In Revelation, it talks about this. It's deteriorating political, economical, and spiritual structure. This world is going to be superseded. And so in Revelation 1:11, John says, write what you see and send it to the churches. Write what you see and send it to the churches. And the first thing we have to recognize is that Jesus acknowledges each local church and he deals with them individually. Although they were seven churches in Asia, it also refers to the church in general today. So it's not just signaling out something in the future. We could all have parts or of these seven churches. They all have value for our own lives. You know, I get up reasonably early on Sunday and I see this man with his guitar and he's with his children, young girls, and they're walking up to the Catholic church not far from where I live. And I always think that's so cool. Because God's coming back for what? His church. He's not so interested as much about what the structure or the government and all those things. He loves what? His church. And so, yes, we have different variants of it, but God's coming back for his whole church. And so that should take away some prejudice right there, shouldn't it? Because God loves his church. And he's coming back for it. And so he really cares about what? His church. And so if we're not in church, it means that we don't really care about church. And so the place that where Jesus loves us most is where? His church. And so the connection we have with his church is most important. And then there's the seven stars. I'm gone to chapter 2 now, pretty much, and 3. And just for the sake of time, you'll see that there's seven stars and the angels of the seven churches and the seven lampstands, which were the seven churches. So, recapping. The stars are the angels of the seven churches. The lampstands refer to the churches. Okay? I don't know why I use this. Oh, well, I kind of do, but we probably don't have time to go into it this morning. But lampstands, what? A church. All right? And so the stars are the angels, all the ministry that happens within each church. Who knows, each ministry of each church is slightly different too. But God's not coming back for the ministry. Interesting point, hey? He's coming back for what? His church. And so we don't want to hold the ministry up too high when he's actually coming back to his church as a whole. And so the number 7 also represents completion. There's 7 churches, as you'll read in chapters 2 and 3. And it's worth mentioning that it doesn't represent 7 periods of history. It rather, there is pastoral significance for today. So let me explain this in short. Be loving, not loveless. If you have a look at the different churches, there's the one that was loveless, and then there was one that was faithful, and then there was Pergamos, and then there was another one that was dead. We don't want to be dead, do we? So let's be full of life. God's coming back for his church, that what is alive, yeah? And so there's all these things that God talks about. And so let's stay integral. Stay faithful no matter what. Be a yes or a no person. One of the churches, as I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, one of the churches he's not so keen on is being lukewarm. I think he'd rather us be cold than lukewarm. Because you can probably move something that's cold, and you can probably, and if you're hot, well, that's great because you're already there. But somewhere in between, well, God doesn't know what to do with that because he can't really use something that's not really getting involved in anything that's kingdom-minded. And so if we're Christ-like, we've got to be moving towards Christ, yeah? Okay. So that's just a bit of revision and a little bit of introduction. So number 1, let's say it together, be overcomers. Be overcomers. See, the overcoming church is Christ's passion, mission, and vision. In Revelation 3, verse 12, it says this, he who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat of the tree of life, Revelation 2, 7. To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna to eat, Revelation 2, 17. To him who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments. I will not blot out his name from the book of life, Revelation 2, 5. Who'd like to know that they are going to overcome and go into the book of life? The book of life. And so like I said, we may make mistakes in our life. We may have bad days. Do you have bad days? I have bad days. I have these grumpy days. Oh, I think I had one yesterday. It wasn't good. Anyway, today's a better day. God's not, you know, it's not so much about that we, you know, it's from time to time we mess up. Or we say things we don't want to say, or we're just grumpy all day long for whatever reason. But hey, we can live a better life, right? And so this is what a revelation is speaking to us about. See, it's more difficult to get off track if you've determined to build his church. Revelation 2 and 3, they marry well with Christ's mission statement for his disciples. You are Peter, and on this rock I will build my, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. You are, say your name, you are Nigel, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Who thinks like Peter was saying last week, didn't he do a great job? But like Peter was saying last week, it takes all of us to build the house of God. Every one of us, whoever we are, we all have a role to play in our giftings. We don't have to do things that we're not good at, but we can all get involved in something in building his kingdom for the kingdom that's coming. And that's how we live our lives. And so you and I may stumble in our faith. I've said Peter became stronger through the process. And even though he himself stumbled, and, you know, he denied Jesus, but he was one of the chief builders of the house of God. We know he wept and he repented, as it were, and God actually, through him, helped build the early church. And so, let me put it this way about rocks. Because Peter became one of the boldest preachers on the planet. One of the key men in establishing the early church, his Patmos, you know, who would, it was pretty bad, you know, denying Christ, okay? So that his Patmos, he's got like, felt like the life was squashed out of him. How on earth did I get to this point? Have we all felt like that at times? How on earth, but it's never, what did Peter end up being? I'm trying to encourage you this morning, God's got a plan for us. And so we just stay the course. Now, Peter determined to stay the course. See, rocks don't move. They're solid structures that people can admire. Who thinks they could be more of a rock right now? You know, solid. Rocks are hard. I go on holiday sometimes down to Esperance. I have a lady that used to be in this church. Sometimes we go to her house. And there's this place called Frenchman's Peak in Cape Legrand National Park. And I don't like walking particularly. But my wife does. And so I walk with her, and we walk up Frenchman's Peak. And you've got to kind of, you know, well, for her it's easy. For me, I kind of struggle a bit to get to the top. And when the kids were younger, I remember doing this in New Zealand. I had Sarah on my back, but she said, "We're not stopping until we get to the top, Nigel." And so we got to the top. Now, there is a reason to this story, I think. And see... People go and climb to admire the view, right? I mean, at the top of Frenchman's Peak, down at Esperance, it's amazing how far you can see. I don't know how many kilometres it is, but it's a long way, especially on a clear day. And so his faithful people, they go to church, right? His faithful people, they go to his church. They serve in his house. They give to him and the vision that the church has set. Who knows that it costs us in our time? Costs us in what we may otherwise be doing. It costs us financially, as Greg was saying this morning. It costs us emotionally. Sometimes, like the disciples, when there's a lot of programs or things that we're doing to promotion the community or whatever, we can become exhausted at times. But we are building ourselves up in God, and every time we make the decision to work for his kingdom, and we step up and up and up, and eventually our view is totally amazing because it's out of this world. We're with him. Jesus' last words to Peter were, "I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven." Wow. So when we actually are ministers in His church, every one of us, when we actually put aside some of those things that try and crowd our lives, and we build the church together, what happens? We get the keys to what? Kingdom of heaven. Who'd like the keys to the kingdom of heaven right now? See, this is not just, is it, about the future, right? This is about the now. This is about us bringing heaven down to earth, because we are totally in love with our God, because we worship Him more than we worship anything else in life. Yeah? And so that we can have the keys. Who'd like more keys for their life? We worship God. We serve in His house. We love on one another. We've got it pretty much here. Love God, each other, our community. As we do, we can see heaven come down to earth and transform our lives and others as well. See, Jesus' primary love and concern in His early chapters is that He is massaging His church for His new heaven and earth. And so we become His overcoming church. The call of God in Revelation is to overcome. It's used 16 times in Revelation. And the Greek word is nikeo, to gain the victory. And there are two kinds of people in Revelation. The overcomers or the overcome. How do we gain the keys to the kingdom? Allow me to give you some overcoming scriptures this morning. Who'd like some overcoming scriptures for their life this morning? All right, you might want to jot these down. They're probably not going to have time to put them up on the screen this morning. But here we go. I'm going to put the glasses back on. We overcome because greater is He within you than he that is in the world. 1 John 4:4. 1 John 2:13 and 14. We overcome because the Word of God abides in us and gives us strength. 1 John 2:13 and 14. We overcome because the power of the new birth and the new nature within, and because of our faith. 1 John 5:4 and 5. And in Revelation 12:11, we overcome through the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. It is Christ the overcomer who lives within, which makes this victory to victory to victory to victory to victory life possible. It is Christ where? Within us. The Christ within us. The Christ within every one of us makes sure that we go from victory to victory to victory to victory. And I know you're saying, but Nigel, sometimes I don't feel like I'm living in victory. But if you stay in faith, if you stay the course of the Word of God, if the word of your testimony is still that Jesus is Lord of your life, you will end up having what? Victory. You will end up having victory. Some of you need to hear this morning. There's stuff in your lives that are actually starting to break you down, and you need to actually just say, Lord, I love you. I'm holding on to you. No matter what, I'm going to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. He is Lord. Susan always says amen there because she was in a camp for so many years, but she still held on to the victory that is in Jesus Christ. We don't know what that's like. How many years was it, Susan? How many years were you in the camp? 10 years. Who'd like to lose a decade of their life pretty much? And you still come out in faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You still serve God. Why is that? Because there's an overcoming spirit within every single one of us when we receive Jesus into our heart. That's why Christianity can't be stomped out, because He's alive. And the men might come, the devil might come, but Jesus has the final say. Shane gets to preach the good stuff later on. I get the tough one today. And so second, let's be overcomers, yeah? Second, are you listening? Turn to your neighbor and say, are you listening? See, the Bible says in Revelation, He who has an ear, let him hear. It's spoken to every church. In other words, it's spoken to us. You know, sometimes I only half listen. Is any other men out there like that? One man was honest and put his hand up. This is not so funny, but it is funny now, I guess. Wait till you hear it. See, sometimes I only half listen. I was a lot younger too. Not trying to justify myself, but all the women are probably going to have a go at me afterwards, but that's okay. But one time, when Andrea had to go somewhere, my children were 6, I think Jared was 7, Sarah would have been 5. All right, one boy, one girl, Jared 7, Sarah's 5. And I was actually, I had my own business, so I had, while the church was growing, I had a lawn mowing contracting business, and I was really quite busy this particular day. I think it was about this time of year, but I had a lot of work on. It's normally a bit quieter this time of year, but anyhow, what happened was, Andrea looks at me, as she does, who knows that feeling, man, and she said, "Nigel, your work's not so important these next few days. What's important is you looking after the children." Yes, dear. So the very first morning, and she gave me these other instructions, because Jared also had to go to a golf lesson. We used to live not far from the Fremantle Golf Course, and there was a group of them that did golf after school. And I had to make dinner for a couple of nights. That was a challenge, but anyway. So she told me all these things. I said, "Yes, dear. No problem. Got it covered." First morning. Andrea left that night. First morning. Kids have got to go to school, right? Or kindy end school it was at the time. And so I load them into the ute. My phone's already ringing. "Can you come and do this job? Can you go and, come?" And I'm kind of on the phone. Now, my daughter Sarah, I'm trying to lean over to her because she didn't want to put a seatbelt on. You know, she's 5. And she's kind of, "I've got to put your seatbelt on." And, and she actually had said to me, now that I recall it all these years later, she actually said to me, "You're probably better off not doing the lawn mowing thing. Just get them to school first and then go to work." Sounds logical, right? But no, I thought, I can do it all. I can do it all. So I'm on the phone, I'm trying to buckle the kids in, didn't realize that I'm actually rolling back on my driveway. The garage door's closed. Guess what happens? The whole garage door is crumpled in. I'm just going, "Oh no, Andrew's going to kill me. First morning, my life is over. Can she come home right now? I can't even do it one thing right." Anyway, that was just a start. I'm afraid to say it wasn't a good... I'm glad my kids are older now. Anyhow, I think it was that very night. Now, I've asked Jared if I can talk about this. We actually, because, you know, it's one of those things. And there is a point to all this. And that night, I dropped him off, because Andrea said, "You've got to drop him at his golf lesson." Yep. So I dropped him at his golf lesson, 4 o'clock after school, whatever the time it was. And I'm cooking dinner that night. And Sarah's trying to help me a little bit. And I look at Sarah, it's about 7 o'clock. And I look at Sarah and go, "It's really quiet around here. Where's your brother?" And she looks at me with that cheeky little grin, and she goes, "You dropped him at golf." And suddenly, I'm just, oh! I couldn't get in the ute fast enough. I broke every law in the book. I turn up. My son, he was only little then. The whole place is deserted. It's dark. And he's huddled cold in the corner. It had been dark for like an hour and a half. I said, well, thank you, son, for staying in the position that I left you. He's got over it. Have you ever had that kind of sinking feeling? My gut just went, oh, if not one thing's enough. You see, Jesus is talking to his church, and he is saying, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says. He who has a, in the Gospels it talks about ears all the time. I mean, not literal ears. It talks about he who has ears, let him hear, because Jesus was there with him. But we have to be more sensitive now. And that's why it talks about like this in Revelation, he who has an ear. Because we've got Christ within us, but we have to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Which is what Peter was saying last week. He who has an ear. And the more attentive we are, the less trouble we get into. The less things go wrong. If I'd just changed one thing, I probably would have made that whole day a lot better back then. And yet, we often think that we can do it all. But when we take a step back and rest in God, we have an ear to hear what He wants us to do in our lives for our day. We get wisdom from heaven, and we bring the keys of the kingdom of heaven down into our everyday life. Who thinks that's a better way to live? So we cooperate when we listen. Hebrews 4:7, you know the Bible always backs up the Bible. Yeah, start handing out communion. Thanks, Gus. Let's do that. Today, if you have an ear, it says in Hebrews 4:7, today if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts. We enter into His rest when we listen. When we half listen, we have things in our lives that quite possibly could have been avoided. See, the Bible says that the listening people inherit the tree of life. The listening people inherit the book of life. The listening people inherit His new name. If we are really listening, you know, as we're taking communion this morning, I have a lot more I can preach this morning. Maybe we'll get halfway there. The next 5 minutes, we're going to drive. I know it's a long weekend. But if we're listening, which Adam and Eve didn't do. But what's amazing is that God says we can inherit the tree of life and we can eat from it. In other words, He's saying, we have the testimony of Jesus on our lips. When we have His voice in our heart, when we put aside sometimes our own agenda, and I'm not saying we don't have to go to work, and I'm not saying all those things we do. He's given us a mind and a brain to use. But we can still take a step back, can't we? And we can listen to what God wants us to do on our daily basis. Will you hear? Will you have an ear, as the Bible says, that hears what God has for our life? Man lost the way, but Jesus paid the ultimate price on the cross. The tree of life is reestablished for His empowering church, overcoming church. Those who hear the Spirit, who live in His first love, will go from victory to victory to victory. And it's not so much about looking at our current circumstances, because faith overcomes. what thrills me about people in our church like Susan and other people that have lived in camps and still love God. It just proves to me that's never been in that situation. Most of us. And Jesus is alive. He is real. If God is for us, we know that we're going to have the final victory. We get to be with Him in heaven. So before we take communion this morning, last thing I want to say about these two chapters of chapter 2 and 3 in Revelation is this. Jesus says, I know. I know your works. I know your labor. I know your tribulation. I know your poverty. I know that most of the time it says to the dead church that there's not much alive about you. But he still says this hope. See, Jesus builds his church on the revelation of himself. And it's connected to the need in the church. Therefore, Jesus knows what you need right now. Jesus knows the things that are going to benefit your life. He knows. So right here, right now, why don't we pray a prayer together? All of us, while we're seated here this morning. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for your love. I thank you that right through to the end of your church, you want us to live for you. You never give up on anyone. It's never too late. You want us to have our best life. So Father, today, I thank you for what you've done for your Son. I determine today to live through the testimony of Jesus in my life. Both now and forever, in Jesus' name. Amen. Why don't we take communion this morning? As you're finishing communion, let me leave you with these thoughts. I'm going to open the altar just if people would like to come and just, I surrender to you. In Revelation, Christ is calling us to be overcomers, to have an ear that hears the Spirit, and he knows. And I guess because he knows, let me say this. Therefore, listen. There's three things that Jesus commends: enduring faithfulness to Christ, resisting evil in its various forms, and upholding the key values of faith and love and godly works. Why don't we just stand as we finish our meeting this morning? I'm going to dismiss the meeting, but I'd just love us to stay in this atmosphere. If you'd like to talk, you can go to the cafe, but there may be people that just want to sit and surrender this morning and continue their communion time with God. If that's you, please come. And I'm just going to wait and hang a little bit too. Just signal me if you'd like some prayer, that's fine. Love to do that.